Do bad as well to the bad stuff. We've just finished recording this week. We, of course, talk about a chess in Paris at the Barclay and try and compare that to, should we compare it, and how does it compare to Camille, to Courtney? What are these performances? How do they stack up against each other? We also talk about whether the Barclay's lost its edge slightly because of the fact that everyone goes around in a group these days and it's so different from the original challenge. And do they need to change the rules because of it? We also then talk about how there are some new races that are clearly being designed to try and be quirky, to try and get clickbait, and how we feel about these, whether we like them because they're new and they're coming out with something ingenious, or whether we just think, God, you're trying too hard, you're doing it for the wrong reasons. That's on the bad stuff, guys. Take it away, Nick.
They're bad, they're boys, and occasionally they talk about running. Yes, it's the Bad Boy Running Podcast with your hosts, Jody Rainsford and David Heller. Come back. Baby, come back. With a bye, 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 bye. With a bye, 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 bye. I must admit I was a clone to be messing around. But that doesn't mean that you have to leave.
Hello, Jody Rainsford. Hey, Dave Battis. How are we all doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
All right. I'm a bit final week in Asia now. We're in Hanoi. Just arrived about half an hour ago or so. So, good, good. Still, my fitness is.
Left them to unpack, deal with everything while you do the important stuff, recording this
Exactly.
episode.
The nation needs us. The world needs us.
The world,
Exactly.
exactly. We've come to. It's come to. It's an emergency. It's breaking emergency when Jasmine achieves Barclay. That's it. And that's we've literally rushed here. Days after after the finish.
We were at the final book waiting to see if she'd get there. And it's taken us this long to find our way back to actually then tell you what happens.
Well,
So,
I was stood right at the end and saying, "Can I just can you just spare 100 seconds for an interview? Because I just want to get your take on it before you finish." But she didn't do it. She just she was she ran past me. I just 100 seconds. That's all I wanted. But selfishly, she decided to finish.
crazy. It's the because of the way the algorithms work now, I no longer really have a sense of what is being perceived as big by the outside world versus
Well,
just what's a massive echo chamber of people that I know already love things like the Barclay. But it,
if it's
yeah,
on the
I.
BBC, if it's on the BBC, and it was on the BBC as a kind of a top story, so I would say that that is pushing the boundaries of being widely talked about as well.
Because how much have you seen of it? How much? What do you know about the Barclay this year?
I know that my feed was fucking boring while everyone was following it as usual. Like when everyone like bloody does that thing where they all watch it, you're just like, this is right. This is gonna sound a bit weird, okay?
Yeah,
But
yeah.
watching Barclay is like watching the wheelchair race at the London Marathon. Nothing fucking happens. Like nothing, you just don't have any sense of like anything happening up until that last stretch in the mall. And all that last stretch in the mall is like all of a sudden everyone fucking goes through it. And it's the same with Barclay. You
What
kind of
about
know
when they
when
took out
people
the
who.
women's race? That was big. Was that wasn't London, was it? Was that another race? Maybe it was London.
I
The
don't
front
know,
of the
actually.
wheelchair plowed through the women's race because they were going over for the water, the drink stops. So
Oh yeah, I don't know, but the
yeah.
thing is, yeah, it's that last bit that makes it dramatic. And really, like the Jasmine thing, it's like 99 seconds to spare, isn't it? I mean, that's fucking just. It couldn't have
Yeah.
been any more dramatic. Gary Robbins must be watching that, going, "Fucking hell, that could have
It must
been
be
me."
weird for someone like Gary to, because Gary emotionally gave everything a few times. And when we spoke to him in Birmingham, he was very clear that he just
No fucking way.
He just couldn't dedicate enough anymore. Like, he, family, his business, you know, the race series, and not the Whistler one anymore, sadly.
At some point in the future, I need to go fight UTMB. I don't realise it now, but this will become my mission, and I cannot possibly do this race. I need to build superpowers before I take them on.
Yeah, I need to stop training so hard so I can step in front of a juggernaut steamroller.
Yes.
Just crush one of my races. But it must be strange for him knowing that this year, well, it's getting easier, but this year was the year he must have been able to finish, surely. But 99 seconds, people forget that they're not out there with, I'm sure she has a watch, but they don't have GPS at all.
And she does have a watch, because I did notice as she collapsed and slumped, she switched her watch off just before she it was just so classic. Oh, I'm so exhausted, but not so exhausted, I'm going to switch my watch off.
Interesting, because surely the watch just tells you the time, because you're not allowed GPS and all of that. So that's the thing. She would have been running blind to how likely it was she was to finish. So actually, at least when if you're in a race chasing a personal best or chasing a time, you've got some inclination of where the line is. And so you know how hard to push. You can pace that last 3, 4, 5 miles of marathon thinking, I just got to hold this. Come on, come on. Whereas the fact that she can't have known the course well enough to be able to think, oh, these last 5 miles I only have to do in 3 hours and then we're home, or whatever it may have been.
That's what I really struggle with understanding. How can you cut it? So is that just total luck as to how that plays out? Yeah, how can you be so specific and so?
It must be same with Gary, right? I mean, it seemed like a coincidence that they're both so close, but I don't see how, given when you hear of people talking to bins, thinking they're police officers or all those types of stories, that someone actually is going to be aware enough of the course and their surroundings to be able to know exactly how many miles and what the pace is of different sections to be able to time it well. But I was really struck by how many people there were at the finish. It always seems to be such a small group of people until you saw the camera turn the other way and you saw just the support crew of 30 people suddenly becomes 90 people. So, and that to me was quite shocking. When you think of the photos that you see of lads with one individual, one person here, one person there, and to suddenly have actually what looked like a finish line, a proper group of people sharing them, was really unexpected. But where do we rate this in the scale of achievements?
The thing is, it's an incredible achievement. It's an incredible achievement for, it's such a great story, because it's one of those ones where she's gone back multiple times and then she's conquered it. And you've also got the drama of the end and everything. And so it's absolutely brilliant. What makes it difficult is when people lose their shit over it and they just go it goes over the top. And I don't think it helps talk about like the enormity of the achievement. Well, people going, the greatest ultra running achievement of all time. You're like, well, that's a very British perspective, isn't it? Like, especially when Camille a week fucking earlier.
Where did you see that? Where?
Oh no, it's just people on social media. There were some people, I think, on I can't remember what the one of the one of the one of the media channels or something. It was a quote from someone saying it's the greatest ultra marathon achievement all time. Like it's an incredible achievement. It's an incredible personal achievement, and it's an incredible achievement. And it, you know, and for what it means in terms of, in terms of everything to do with the Barclay and and becoming the first woman to do it as well. But fucking hell, like, it just... I suppose that's the thing, isn't it? People grab what they want from it, and they just use to have their own agenda with it, don't they? I mean, I even saw a thing from, what's it called, the National, the Scottish newspaper, going, Scottish runner. Like, Scottish runner, you know, wins like this race. You're like, do you know what? I never thought about that take on it.
She's French, isn't she? She's from Paris.
She's not Scottish, is she? She lives in Scotland, but she's not Scottish. She's not born in Scotland. Exactly. So, but it's amazing. People just take what they want. You know, I watched this race and I'm invested in Jasmine. Therefore, this race and this achievement is the greatest thing ever because I'm watching it. It's like that fucking particle physics thing. You know, I'm watching it. Therefore, it is the greatest ever. It's an incredible achievement, but I don't think anyone's helped by the fact that, you know, people just lose their shit about it.
But I think that's for me, it's very similar to Camille, where what Camille did was incredible, but I've got no context of how good Camille's performance was. And the same with Jasmine. I don't know how to rank this because there's so few people who've done anything like it. And even there's so few female runners who've attempted the Barclay. We've had some very good runners in the past do it, but not really top level females. And Laz has always said that he didn't think a woman would be able to do it because he didn't think the women were fast enough. And, you know, we had Nikki Spinks go out, who's obviously incredible at things like the Bob Graham rounds, the doubles. But she's not known for her speed. She's known for her endurance and her. And actually, that's why the Barclays that's why it's been so out of reach, because you need to be fast enough to put in a 9 hour or so first lap.
And that's why he said Jasmine had the best chance, because she has been an outright winner on races before, so you know, beating men and being fast. So I think that's why he pinpointed her in the first episode that we interviewed him as being one who could possibly, if there was going to be someone, it would likely be someone like her, because she may have the speed. It's a really weird one, isn't it? Because I always find like running stuff, like the distance stuff, interesting, because it's not like team sports, or it's not like other things where, you know, people are doing it as part of a team or whatever, because it's so individual. It's not though, is it?
It's not anymore. And this is to Matt B. Davis.
No, it's not anymore. Even if you wanted it to be. Especially if you're the first woman doing something, or you're the, you know, first of any category doing something, all of a sudden that's thrust upon you as.
Matt B. Davis, because I don't want to say this is my own original thought, even though I was thinking the same thing. He was saying that surely it's over, because having five people run around as a tour guide for John Kelly, who's done it three times. So we're a tour guide of John Kelly three times. That's not at all what the Barclays about. Right? You do four laps where you just jog with your mates, where you run with your mates. And then on the last one, you've got a 50-50 chance of going back over the ground you've already done four times. Whereas surely the whole point of the Barclay was the difficulty of the navigation combined with the fatigue. Whereas if you're never having to navigate for the first four laps, it's a very different type of fatigue. So, like, is it no longer what it was? And I don't want to downplay the achievement of Jasmine, because it is incredible, but it would be very different for all of them. You know, John Kelly doing it for the first time and finishing it is completely different to him doing it now.
And so should they ban? That's it. Should you only be allowed to run it a certain number of times so that you can't ever familiarize yourself with it?
Or should it be that, you know, you set off in two directions, and then at the end of each lap, if you're with someone or if you're within a minute of someone, you then one goes one way, one goes the other.
I thought that's how it did. I thought that's how it did work.
Only on the last lap, you do.
Only on the last lap.
And at the end of it, the first person in, who's the Ukrainian runner, great Ukrainian Canadian, he chooses his direction. So normally you'd continue on the way you've done. The next person in goes back. So you've got a 50-50. And that would be interesting, actually. I don't know what the strategy was on the last lap, with people close or pushing hard or.
You said something interesting there. You said the Ukrainian was the first one in. Not the winner, the first one in.
Yeah,
It's not. Is he the winner? Because no one knows. No one's talking about it. He must have thought, fucking Jasmine. Like, what the fuck? This is like the most incredible achievement of my life. Oh, because this is going to be amazing. This is going to
high. I was on the front line last week. My leg still bleeding.
I'm gonna be able to talk about the Ukrainian cause. This is going to be great personally for me. This is going to be absolutely incredible. this is going to transform my life. No.
But if you, because if we try and compare, because the Camille and the Jasmine achievements are both so close together, both amazing, but also both incomparable to the rest of the ultra community, really. Because who's done a 6-dayer? Who's attempted the Barclay? And if we're comparing athletes to athletes, this is where it becomes hard, because let's put Courtney in the mix and her, was it fourth place, fifth place at UTMB? Which is better of those three? I'd argue the UTMB one, because the UTMB race has all of the best ultra runners in the world can apply and do race it. And she was against the very best people.
Hadn't even occurred to me to think about it in those terms, and think about the Barclay in those terms, in terms of.
But if you like people like John and Damo are amazing ultra runners, and they're so good at that type of event. But they've done well. Damo's done UTMB before. I think he came fourth or fifth in a really howlingly weather battered year. But would we put them as up there with our Killians? That's the question. I don't know if we would, or our Francois Danes and the like, with our Scott Jureks. Are they up there just because they're good at the spine and good at the Barclays? And for me, they're amazing at specializing needs, but I'm pretty sure they'd also say I'm probably not as good. You know, Killian can turn up to a Bob Graham round and sure, good weather, or Jack Kunz or whoever it may be, can turn up and smash the times of other people. It's just that they don't do the Barclays or the spine. So can we really compare Camille and Jasmine to Courtney? Maybe Camille? Maybe.
It's weird, isn't it? It's like, why
Jasmine,
that's
I'd say
the thing.
Not.
The thing is, I don't think we necessarily do need to compare at all, because I think we could just see them on their own. But this is what happens when I think when people make wild claims about this is the greatest achievement or in ultra running, because you then invite a comparison that isn't needed. Like, it's incredible. It's incredible for Jasmine. It's incredible for women's sport, for showing that women can do it when there was a belief that actually they might not, you know, there may not be the speed. And in the same way, what Camille did was incredible on lots of different ways. The one thing I do know, which we can say for certain, is that we'll not be able to afford to have either of them at the run show anymore.
Yeah. I was messaging Connor about getting Camille to the Boston run show, and he kept on saying, wait until after March. And
we're adding zeros.
I had a sense what it was, and he's not actually messaged me back since. I left it a few days, let's talk. But Jasmine is, I can't imagine she's going to go on every podcast on earth. She doesn't want that, really. She's not looking for that. She's sponsored by Innovate, but she doesn't want to be And she's not there like taking kit from them because she's very conscious of and probably would want to go and talk about Green Runners if she was to go on a Rich Roll or a similar podcast, which would be very weird because those podcasts only want you to talk about the thing that people who don't understand ox running know you for. And so to then be like, actually, you know, I want to talk about responsible athleticism and the impact we have as a community, all those things, they'll be like, we don't, just tell us about the thing we read about is what they want. So do we think, well, we'll ask in the group actually, just a head to head, Camille's 6 day, I mean, the number of records she broke was insane versus Jasmine's. But also, do we think the Barclay has it lost its
edge? Is it gone? Is that it? Is it eating young? Is it eating itself?
And also, you've got to feel for Damo to navigation on the last lap again. You know, he's come close. He teaches Jasmine. He got her in condition with his coaching methodology to be able to take this on, which I hopefully is a silver lining for him. But to be on the last lap twice, and that's got to eat at you. Surely.
He should stop being so selfless. He needs to be more selfish about his training techniques and things like that. I've got to say, though, again, Jasmine, I know this wasn't intentional, but she's managed to get an iconic photo, hasn't she? Like that photo of her slumped against the fence and stuff is just, it's going to be iconic. That's going to be everywhere.
Did you see the finish? Her actually collapsing over it. She put everything out there. It's just incredible.
What you didn't see, she was hiding behind a tree with, waiting for like 90 seconds to spare because she just, she's such a showman, isn't she? She just absolutely, this showmanship is what she's all about.
Unfortunately, she actually read all the books. She was fit in the last book. She's like, actually, let's see what this is about.
What you didn't see, what didn't come off because, the weather wasn't great, was the line of fireworks that were going to go off as she ran up there. And then she had a Catherine wheel on her pack. It was supposed to be but that didn't come off because of the
she was going to bring out her Scotland flag and
Scotland flag. Yeah. That's it. Yeah. She had guns. She was going to shoot off a couple of guns. Yeah, that was it. It was coming up. It was going to... There was a lot of show, sort of, showiness to it that didn't come out of it. But no, that image is going to be one of those ones where it's going to be used to describe like fatigue and exhaustion for like years to come. It's such a good picture.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It always creates the best images because of there's so few people there, and there's good. The only people there are good photographers. And then people are in such a state, absolutely incredible. Well, thinking of other things to discuss, other things that have popped up in my radar.
Oh yeah, what did we talk about last episode that we were going to pull into this one?
Well, we've got the Transcon still that is going. This gentleman's about halfway. The person I wanted to talk about, but so that can still wait because it's a classic. Making influencer hype versus reality. But have you seen that you can get a 20% discount with North Face for taking their online racial inclusion course?
What does that even mean? Racial inclusion? I'd like to nominate my race to be included within other races. What? Racial inclusion, as in racial, as in... Go on, explain. You're 20% off.
Yeah, 20% off. It's as it sounds. You take the course. It takes about an hour, apparently. And then once you've completed it, you can get your 20% discount, which is... I'm trying to think if this is genius marketing or not, because there's part of me that actually hates them for doing this. If it is cynical in any way. But then there's a part of me that thinks actually this is brilliant. If it does mean that people reflect on being more inclusive and
But the thing is, It's not, but it's not going to, is it? Because people that are
People
conscious
that are
about
racist aren't
it,
going to be like, oh yeah,
people
I'll
that are
take
racist are going to be, oh,
the
do you know what? I'm going to
station.
take, I really want that 20%. We all know that massive racists are very happy to boycott shit. And would they be wearing North Face in the first place? I mean, it just even the language around it is, and maybe that's it. Maybe that's a, I suppose you have to do something pretty big now in order to kind of stamp a mark on taking a position. Because when you've got like someone like Patagonia, who it's the authenticity and the integrity they have around their belief about environment is so ingrained in that brand, in everything they do, that everyone else looks like they're it's tokenism. They're just making shit up, and yeah, there's the heart's not really in it. It's been come up with in a committee meeting or something like that. So I think you've got to do something pretty aggressive and pretty big. And so I think that certainly ticks the box, because I just the language of it as well is would immediately put off like allyship in the outdoors.
It does make me wonder.
I can see Trump now decrying North Face. I mean, that might be what they're trying to do. They're trying to get Trump to mention North Face in a speech. Where are North Face based? Where are what are they? Are they
The north, up in the north. North of the north. I'd assume that means they're going to be around Yosemite, where the. Their logo is based on that, but they must be North American, almost certainly, right? But yeah, I'm not sure exactly where they're from. But can you do you think you can
Is the
fail
North
this
Face called
course?
North Face because of the North Face of the I thought it was the North Face of the Eiger. That's why they were called North Face. I
It
totally
might be the North
misunderstand
Face of
that.
the Eiger. I think it probably is the North Face of the Eiger, but the logo
No,
of
it's not.
North
It's not. It's
Face,
Half Dome. You're absolutely right. It's Half Dome
Half
from
Dome.
Yosemite. Oh, for
Yeah.
years I thought that. Fuck them. How dare they? How dare they use North Face, a European fucking term?
Yeah, true, actually. They might not have realized it. They might have been that out of touch.
God, yeah. Like, yeah, there's no mountains outside of the US. It's Colorado they're based.
And do you think you can fail this test?
Why don't you try it, David? Why don't you try it?
This is what.
I have done a racial bias test before, just to see what it was like. And it said that I showed a preference for non-white skin, which I don't know what that means, really. A preference for non-white skin, which I don't know whether that means I'm just a misanthropist, a
Is this
misanthrope, I should say, a misanthropist from some made up
was
word.
this one of you was this as you were going through to Pornhub? It was showing the links you'd clicked.
Those are preferences. That's
Well, in fact, I'm just going on the test at the moment, and it walks you up the face of the I think it's the actually, I don't know if it is the North Dame that it's taken me up, but we will report back on this, D-Batters. But D-Batters, would you do this course? It's an hour. So you've got to spend quite a lot of money to make it worth your time, really. If even just versus unless you're being paid at work to do it, which is one
Oh,
option.
wait a minute. North Face have been winding up the riot the whole time. North Face, like, I'm just looking at some of the thing about backlash against North Face and stuff like that. In May, North Face came under criticism, right-wing criticism, featuring a drag queen in an online ad as part of its Summer of Pride campaign. So I think they're just doubling down. They don't care about what the right say. Good on them. Do it. I'd go harder.
And actually, I've just done the first module, I think. And the first one just says, think about how often you see people of color outside. Then it gives you some
Loads.
stats.
Loads, I imagine.
The,
In
well, yeah,
Hanoi.
actually, around Peckham. Probably not. True, true.
Fucking I know.
And then I have to watch it. Oh, I'm only 8%. Oh God, this can take way. I'm 8% into the first module. Yeah, I just paid for whack.
The other thing though is that North Face, don't they have like a load? There's a load of environmental concerns around North Face, isn't there? I remember North Face coming under loads of criticism for something. I can't remember. I'll try and find out. But yeah, that's.
And do we need to do? Hardcore. Do we need to offer a discount on Bad Boy merch by setting up a test, an hour long test that people need to go through? Maybe it's a combination of.
That's
of
just called the checkout procedure. Checkout procedure.
which bar stacks combine best with which drinks could be?
That's a great one. A
strong one, or which abuse can you shout at people and get away with? No, obviously not racial abuse. That would be
definitely. we're the reverse of the North Face thing. We're telling people what are the correct racist terms to use on this group of people. What we should do is it should be in keeping with the cult theme. It should be a test of loyalty that combines both incredibly detailed knowledge about esoteric elements of the podcast, but also require video and photographic evidence of having done various things as well. Just really, really complicated for a 3% discount or something. which will be totally overridden by postage and packaging.
Either that, or depending on your answer, sometimes it goes up, sometimes it goes down. You
don't
know which way it's going to go.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, it's dependent on the answers. I quite like that. I quite like the idea that you could get a lifetime discount code with BBR depending on how well you answer this one test. Oh, that's gonna. I'm going down a rabbit hole for that. I had loads of work to do today, but I'm going down a rabbit hole of coming up with that test now. That's great.
The test can be what's your PIN number? What's your mother's maiden name? Now, have you seen The Race with No Finish Line? Someone's now that I don't know how I feel about this. I've been sent this a few times. It's a YouTube video to a race that clearly someone has thought, what is a format for a race that means I'm going to get loads and loads of column inches, loads and loads. They've basically influenced it up a race format to try and be as clickbaitable as possible. So this is called The Race with No Finish Line. Clickbaity, clickable as possible. So this, have you heard of this? The Race with No Finish Line.
I've heard of the title. Were we sent a press release or something on this? We get so much stuff. It just sounds so much like so many other things.
Yeah, well, go on. This is one where they've, you know, where Laz almost, there's an evolution of his races where they start off, well, I think there's a huge difference between something that's quaint and something that's almost traditional and someone trying to create something that's kind of mum and puppy. Like, this is the first year of something when you're saying you've got to touch this gate. You've got to, it seems so contrived versus.
Oh, yeah. 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 You're trying to create a tradition that doesn't.
Understated tradition. Or so for you, everyone who comes to this is 100 people race it. It's basically a backyard with a twist. And the twist is that everyone turns up with a $100 bill that they put in a test tube and they put into some kind of old relic contraption. So already,
I fucking hate it already. I hate this already. Fuck it. That is fucking shit. Okay. So there we are. Straight away, I hate it. What's the next bit?
So last runner wins 100,000, basically. So wins 10,000. So you've got so long to complete each lap. And it's just like a backyard, except you win the $10,000 by finishing rather than the kind of kudos thing. So, that's the thing. It's, to me, there's such a balance between something that is authentic or contrived and an evolution of races that then take on this quirkiness versus creating quirk, like building in quirk from the start.
Creating quirk. There's nothing worse, is there? That's it. Everyone sees the thing with like Laz and all that, don't they? And all of that was, you know, created out of, well, he tells us it was created of it. He could be a marketing genius just dressed up like the way he is. You know, he did the same thing. We'll never know. We do know. But that's the thing. Yeah, just creating quirk and going, oh, do you know what? We leave it a few years and people will go, oh, yeah, remember when you got to put the test? Yeah, but they're trying to find... The thing is, they're already trying to write the headline on, like, BBC News or something when they go, oh... I ran the race where you put money in a test tube and you have to be the last person standing. You can see they're writing the head. They're trying to write the headlines for themselves by making it quirky.
And for example, there are some ideas that are genius, where the piece of string race by Centurion Running, amazing, because that is a concept rather than a quirk. The concept is quite quirky, but actually it's not designed to try and get column inches.
And
it's designed to try and test people.
And it's an evolution of everything they've done as well. It's an evolution of, like, we've done all these races and we've pushed people to the limit. What's the next thing we can try and create in all? And you saw, you know, when it first started, it was a handful of people, and then it got more and more. You know, there was a kind of a clear, obvious evolution to it being created and why it was created and everything else that went with it. So what we're saying is that you're not allowed to come up with an original race unless we have verified whether we think it's authentic enough. Well, you I need think... to do a 1 hour authenticity test online to be able to list this as a race. Do you know what? When I was flying to where was it? Was I flying to Marbella or Rome? I can't remember. I'm such a jet setter. I think it was Marbella. I was reading something on the in-flight magazine and it was talking about the rise of like micro races that are under 100 people, because I think that's the threshold, isn't it? Under 100 people or something in big cities like London and other places as well, where you have these kind of races and everything, but you don't have to close the roads. You don't have to have all the all of those kind of things as well. And I want, you know, having done the original marathon, which we will talk about on an episode soon, I do wonder whether that is, you know, something that may come back a bit more, having like more intimate experiences where you can bring something that's a little bit unusual to it or take a different angle rather than...
Yeah.
Having to come up with a grand concept and this quirky element to it in order to get attention, in order to get sponsorship, in order to do, you know, whatever it is that you need to do. But you do, you know, wonder that, you know, I don't know. It's interesting who's setting up races at the moment and for what reason.
In such a difficult landscape. It's like in obstacle racing when it changed from being people that wanted to do something fun and or quirky or something that was going to test you to being, I can do what they're doing and make some cash out of this, or I can do what they're doing and get kudos or make a name for myself. And I think the motivations have changed now. Because the sport is so much more established, certain races have achieved all of those things. And that's when it's the Me Too people coming in who actually are doing it for the wrong reasons that we then get these races that are created for a different purpose than
sex
the original
offenders.
Races that we loved.
Me too. Sex exactly. offenders. That's...
Exactly.
Oh, do you know what?
Exactly.
Did you? Do you know what? I've not listened to you. I'm just mentioning this just because it's on my in my head. I haven't listened to the your Scott Carney interview yet. Did he mention Huberman on it at all? Did you not talk about Huberman at all?
I don't know, because he's on my social, Scott is. So I've seen a couple of things in the last few days. He's talked about it. So I'm
because it's because the article came. I think the article came out in the.
I think he mentioned he was involved in something with Huberman, but didn't explain much.
So yeah, he was referenced. He was referenced in the article.
Let's talk about that next time, because it's quite interesting, right?
Oh, it's very interesting.
Yeah, and it's probably not what you expect if you don't know the story, do you, balance? So that is a cliffhanger, and that'll bring you back as much as. Oh, I was going to allude to something from the story, but we'll give the game away. But you've got a call at 5. We need to wrap things up.
Yes.
But do better. I'm back in the UK next week, which means I can start booking interviews where Jodie and I are both on the interviews. We will also start doing more bad stuff because hopefully we'll be a bit more on schedule with each other. So if you've got any suggestion of topics or guests for us to interview, message me david@badboyrun.com or message on Instagram, and please do subscribe. If it's your first one, subscribe, go and listen back to some episodes. If you like this one, we've already talked about the Jasmine interview we did. We've done maybe 3 interviews with Laz in the past. We spoke to Damo Hall about his UTMB. We spoke to John Kelly a couple of times at least. One about the Great Rounds, one of them probably about the Pennines, and one about the Barclays. We didn't speak to Gary Robbins, we spoke on stage. Didn't we? Well, there's plenty there. And we've spoken a couple of times, maybe 3 times to Camille as well, where she's talked about her records and things. So go back and listen to those.
And of course, we're releasing the episode where we speak to Jasmine at the Run Show before she made the attempt as well. So if you haven't listened to that, listen to that. That'll be published after this. Yes, it'll be published after this, won't it?
Really good episode. I remember, in fact, I messaged Jasmine afterwards, just to say, like, thank you so much. I wasn't sure, because she is someone who's not, you know, an obvious extrovert, whether it was going to be as good a session as her performances are out in the course, but she was brilliant. She was just so insightful. She was so honest. She gave so much useful information and tips. It was, I thought it was an incredible session. So to do look out for that episode.
Yeah. If you want to join the conversation, head to Facebook, type in Bad Boy Running Podcast, answer 3 questions and jump in there. If you want merch, store.badboyrunning.com. Get your tees, mugs, etc. And support us in any way you can.
That's it, guys, and we'll see you next time.
See you later. Bye bye.
I must admit I was a clone to be messing around, but that doesn't mean that you have to leave town.
Come back,
yes, and give me one more try, 'cause a love like this should I never ever die.
Come back.
Fuck you, buddy.